All right, welcome back to my humble little podcast here called Nashville Talks with Taylor Jones. Like I say every week, it's where we're a podcast about talking to people in Nashville about the stuff that they do and the stories that they've lived through and their successes, their failures, the times that, you know what I'm saying, they got beat up and then got back up and all those kinds of things. That's what we're here to do. And I appreciate you guys tuning in for another week. This is a lot of fun for us. Me and the producer over there, we give us a reason to get together and hang out as well and occasionally eat chicken and drink a pitcher of beer. So
I think we're due for another chicken night.
Yeah, as soon as we're done with this church-wide ethos thing, we'll hit the fast thing. We'll go and chicken it up. Because I haven't had beer one in the last month because of that. So, boom. There it is.
Nice.
All right. So, I'm excited. Two of my alumni, I guess you'd say, now. Y'all both already done the show before.
Heck yeah.
Miss Jordan Shellhart and Baylor Wilson. Together, but not together.
What's the deal?
We have to figure this out. That's the big mystery.
Are they a duo or not?
Hashtag not a duo.
Yeah. So, we'll figure all that out as we go along. But, ladies, thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having us.
How's it been the last 6 months since we've done the show?
Oh, man. It's been crazy. It's been good. A lot of changes, though.
Yeah, what kind of changes?
I think last time I did the show, this is Jordan talking, you were just asking me what's going on, and I was like,
announcing yourself.
I don't know. Well, you know, you're here too, Baylor, so you got to be clear.
I think we had different voices. Do you hear this?
That's true. Yeah, so I was just writing songs and trying to figure it out, and then Baylor and I were talking recently, and you'll hear that story, but we're doing more than writing songs now, so.
Yeah, I got a producer now. That's new.
Yeah. Heck yeah, Taylor.
Ian, say something. Bring yourself into the show here.
What do you want me to say?
Hey, Ian.
Hey, y'all.
Last week, we had a good blurb about Burger King coffee.
So, oh, dear.
About how it's tater tot flavored.
That's disgusting. I'm already not a coffee fan, and now I'm really not.
I'm not either. You had any fun mishaps or anything happen to you this week?
I did.
Okay.
I had a great one.
Okay, what is it?
This one has earned me a spot in the retirement home.
No.
I had my first slip and fall in the shower.
Whoa. Oh, shoot.
I'm talking fell hard. No. Right on my
elbow.
Were you
dancing or something?
No. I think I fell asleep. I don't know.
You fell and took it off.
That's me. I danced.
Took an elbow bump.
Yeah, I took a good elbow bump. Just sat there for a minute. Like, I can't believe I just fell.
You're lucky you didn't hit your head or
something.
Yeah,
no kidding.
My shower's not big enough for me to fall down.
For real? Is it stand-up shower?
It's one of those like
square, tiny,
that you can pick up from Home Depot and bring.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It's terrible. Anyways, I'm really sorry about your fall.
No, I'm not.
Made for a good story.
I've busted it in the shower one time, and I don't know how it happened. I have no idea.
Yeah, see,
all I know
same.
Is my feet went.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I was looking at my feet, and I said, that cannot be good. And then, boom, I took the curtain with me. I broke the whole bathroom. I grabbed the pole on the way down and just, boom.
Oh, my gosh.
And my dad was in the other room. What was that?
He just heard this huge thud.
Like, nothing. Don't worry about it. Nothing. And it takes, like, an hour to kick out of the fact that you just fell.
Yeah.
You don't just, like, get over it real quick.
That's true.
Yeah. I didn't stand right up. I literally sat there on the bathtub floor. Just
like, let me think about this for a minute. What just happened?
Did you cry?
No.
Aww. Don't lie to us.
It wasn't that bad.
My grandpa used to say, more old people get killed in the tub. Oh. You know what I mean? He's like, the tub is a dangerous place.
Oh, it really is.
Yeah, that's what he used to say, man.
That's sad.
He really did. So,
actually, Google searched those little flower things, little sticky things you put on the tub floor.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I swear, dude, like, there's a couple of hotel rooms where, like, they have those, like, the tub is real slick.
Yeah.
And you get in there, and, buddy, you will take it. You will fall down because you ain't used to it. So,
you know, my first thought on the floor there was, I wonder how much that subscription to LifeLock is. You know, the little thing you hang around here.
You really did think about that.
I thought
smart.
About it.
You need a little watch, a little LifeLock
yes.
watch. Yeah,
those commercials, man, they kill me.
Help. They do.
They're so funny.
I've fallen.
My grandmother has one, for sure.
It's smart.
She does. She lives by herself, man.
That's cute.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
So, let's see here. So, Baylor, you haven't since last I've seen you. What's been new with you? More songs?
Yeah, more songs. I've recorded a little bit more, which is awesome.
That's right.
There's no telling on when that'll be released yet, but just, I kind of am excited about just finding my sound and finding people that I love writing with and sticking to that crew. It's been awesome.
Sweet. So when you think about, gosh, it sounds like such a big question, but like when you think, when somebody asks you, well, when do you feel like you found your sound? Like, what the heck is that even?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. Because I feel like there's been three times throughout my career in the last 3 or 4 years where I've been like, I found the sound. And then I keep writing and I'm like, heck no, heck no. I just found the sound again. But honestly, I think as an artist, I think your sound's constantly evolving. And I feel like it's always growing and getting better. I mean, every John Mayer record is different. Not that everyone's better, but you know, it's just different. That's the first person that came into my mind. But yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm like, I found the sound and this is it. And like, I deserve, you know, everyone's attention. I just feel like I'm excited about where I'm at with the songs I'm writing and the way that they're sounding right now.
Awesome. So, that's well,
cool. And it takes a while to get there.
Yeah. Listening to that Sheryl Crow record that we were talking about earlier, a couple of days ago. And it's just like, dang, she really found a thing.
Yep.
At that time.
Totally.
You know? And it's like, between like lyrically, you know, I love like how almost smarky some of her lyrics are.
Yeah.
Especially with certain political things of the day.
Yeah, she's definitely bold and not afraid to like tell it how it is in her brain.
Yes.
You know?
And so I'm like, huh, like that's cool, man. Not everybody could get away with it.
Yeah.
Like she did, you know? And,
totally.
And just the sound with the, like she had some steel guitar in there. She had, you know, an accordion. She just had all these random
weird
instruments
for lots of like djembe drum stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I love watching those YouTube live stuff from like 1995 and looking at all the people's haircuts and the clothes they wear and the, you know what I'm saying, the denim and the stuff tied around their waist.
Hey, it's coming back.
I know. Everything comes back.
I mean, I'm wearing these weird flares right now.
Dude, that's money though.
But they're...
I couldn't.
What'd
get
you say, hippie? Did you say hippie or
hippie?
Did you, Ian?
Yeah,
thanks, I did. Ian. I appreciate that.
There you go.
hippie flares.
I keep wondering when is the '80s hair metal look gonna come back, where the guys all look like girls.
Well, Canada just discovered the '80s, so
did they really?
Yeah. Oh dear.
You run up there, you'll find '80s stuff everywhere.
I've never been to Canada.
Me neither.
Have y'all?
I have. I went on a backpacking trip there in high
Which
school.
Part?
Up by Vancouver.
Okay,
it was awesome.
That's beautiful.
Oh my gosh. The whole time I was singing, oh, Canada.
No.
The whole time.
I swear, I think United States, like, we're so arrogant. Like, because Vancouver's so awesome, we, like, claim it.
Yeah.
As our own place. It's like a part of, it is. It's like a part of the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
And we're like, no, that place is cool. That's ours.
It's the U.S.
They film a lot of movies up there now.
A lot of really? TV shows, too, yeah.
Yeah, a lot. It's like a Canadian Hollywood. For real. Mm-hmm. Like, that's their Hollywood kind of thing.
As far as Supernatural was filmed up there. The show Psych was filmed up there.
Was it really?
Yep.
See, that surprises me. I don't know anything about that world. Yeah. Y'all?
No.
Mm-mm. See any good movies? Anybody?
All the good movies.
Oh, we didn't... You loved...
what did I love?
The... What's it? Dang it. What's it called?
I can't think of any movies now.
We're totally blanking right now.
La La Land.
La La Land! That's what we're talking about.
That's good. That's bread. La La over.
It's on my list to see.
Jordan, tell them about La La Land.
It was perfect. It's a perfect movie. I felt like it was overhyped, and then I saw it and realized it was not overhyped.
Did you cry?
I didn't. Well, I got. I mean, you know, it's an emotional ending. I didn't cry necessarily, but I was definitely like feeling it. I hate musicals as a rule, and so
I don't.
When I love them. Oh, I hate them. I just do. But so when I
as
was
a rule.
This is the exception to the rule, but somebody said, you know, we should go see La La Land because it's supposed to be awesome. And I was like, nah, I hate musicals. And the first scene is like a super musical-y musical number. And I was just looking at him like, what have you done to me? And by the end, I was totally converted. It was amazing.
And then she came for the second time with me.
And then I think I saw it. Have I seen it twice? Only twice.
Yeah.
So good.
Good. Well, me and Kyla, we almost went to see it the other day, but some kind of with her parents were in town. But I think just the times we didn't line up. But we're going
to
see it. Probably going to sit at the Dollar Theater because we are cheap.
Yeah.
That's great.
I can't wait.
You should.
Hopefully nobody will hatchet me in the shoulder.
Does that Dollar Theater still exist over by Hickory Hollow?
Yeah.
Gosh, goodness.
Yeah, we go to Antioch to watch our movies.
Last movie I saw over there was Salt, starring Angelina Jolie.
I love that movie.
It was awful.
Oh, I love it.
The part at the end where she dresses up pretending to be like a man.
Okay, well, that's scary.
It was terrible.
I liked it.
Disagreements.
What year was that?
Let's go at it.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a long time ago.
2011-ish.
Okay. See, I feel like I've seen that, but I have no memory of it.
It's really good.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I think I just like Angelina Jolie.
I like her too. That one part ruined the entire movie for me. The rest of the movie was great.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I need to see that one. I swear I think I did though. But I don't know. I got the worst memory in the world.
Same.
Do you?
It's so annoying. We were just talking about this in the car.
Tell people you got CRS.
What's CRS?
Can't remember shit.
Oh my gosh, it's CRS week. Radio seminar. It's CRS week this week.
Like, I got that.
Can't remember shit week. That's me from now on.
Dude, that's you. Just tell somebody next time.
Oh my gosh.
My CRS is acting up.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I have CRS. And they're going to be like, and I'll be like, it's a really serious condition. I don't know. There's no cure. Except for Jesus Christ.
There ain't no cure. That's a shoot, because I swear Kyla will tell me, I'll be on the way home, she'll be like, hey, can you stop by Kroger and get some milk? And I'm like, yeah, got it covered. And I'll drive right by Kroger.
You know what has helped me? Hey Siri. She's not going to do it right now because I put it on silent. But she'll beep and I'll say, remind me in 5 minutes to walk outside and take the trash out. And she will remind you.
Isn't that... My brother does that with his watch, and I'm like, okay, I should definitely do that, but at the same time, like, shouldn't I be able to remember things better than I do?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But problem honestly, is I ignore Siri. She rings at me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll do that, and then I never do it, even if she's reminding me.
So you even
me.
Get the reminder, still don't get
that. Yeah, see, Siri and I have a good relationship.
I just saw the garbage man come down the street, like, before y'all got here, and I'm like, that guy's late. And I got to looking, I'm like, the can's still up at the top of the hill. Who's later? Me. I'm like, I saw him. I was like, huh, I could almost make it down there. And then my dad smarted me up. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. If you miss him coming this way, just put it across the street at the neighbor's house and it'll get it when it comes the other way.
That's smart.
That's funny.
I was like, dude, that guy, he would know how to do that.
Unless you're the second side of the street.
True.
Ooh. I know. See, that's the thing. You never know, but it's worth trying, I guess.
Jordan with the poetic comebacks.
I usually just wait until it's almost full before I take it down there. We only use like one bag a week anyways. I don't know what my neighbors do, because their thing is crap falling out of the top every
single week.
They just
have parties.
Week.
Don't worry about it.
Dude, it is legit. Like, I don't know how many people they got living there, but they must have a few. Because you can look at it right now, the garbage can is like piled up this high out of the lid.
In case y'all were wondering.
It's like that. They'll leave it. If it looks like that and the lid's up, they don't pick it up.
Dang.
I'm like, you guys are cold-blooded, man. These people don't want anybody.
Dang.
Harsh.
Did them wrong.
Trash guy having a rough one.
Tough love, though, man.
Yeah. So, okay. So, the other day, we're at Bible study, and y'all come in, and it's like, hey, we got a thing that we're doing now. So, together. So, how does that go from 1 week, I never heard of this, to next week, you got, like, meetings booked, an agent, a manager, a record deal, like, in a week.
Our own record deal. We sold out tour.
Yeah. You want to hear the story?
Yeah, yes. You tell it.
Now it's time.
All right, so Baylor and I played a writer's round at the Bluebird. And we, first of all, some backstory. We're doing our own thing. We're writing songs. We're just, you know, kind of, you know, Nashville moves at a snail's pace. So it's hurry up and wait, and you wait until everybody decides to get on board. And nobody wants to work for you ever unless you already have stuff going on. But you can't really get stuff going on unless there's people helping you. So it's kind of this which came first, the chicken or the egg situation, right? So Baylor and I played the Bluebird, and my truck broke down in the parking lot.
As per usual.
Which happens far too frequently. And I was just kind of frustrated with a lot of things, and Baylor was driving me to her house, and I just said, man, I want to get out of Nashville and play shows. I just need to leave and play. And she stopped the car in the alley and looked at me and said, you want to? And I was like, yeah. She said, why not? And so 10 minutes later, we were at our publishing company with a yellow pad planning a tour. And at first we thought it was just going to be like fun, right?
Yeah,
like,
we were kind of just like, let's just do this for fun. Let's do it for experience. Let's just pack up our guitars and, you know, call our friends and say, do you want to host a show, you know, in anywhere and everywhere in driving distance, you know, and then start talking about it to people, and people kind of like flipped out and were really excited and just showed us like more interest than we had originally anticipated. And so we got a lot of offers really quickly, and we kind of realized this is more serious and really divine than we had planned. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah. So we decided, we kind of came up with a name immediately, which is called the Real Friends Tour. And basically we're going to go out and play house shows and small venues all around, mostly in driving distance. There's a few that might be a little farther, but that's okay. But yeah, our first show is March 11th in Danville, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Fair play, who's a Survivor player from way back in the day. Originally, I thought he was a Survivor fan, and then I realized he was a player. I'm sure he'd be really happy if he heard that. No, he'll be funny. He's hilarious. He's so funny. Super nice, super supportive. And yeah, he hit me up on Facebook, and I kind of like, we hadn't announced it yet. And, so I kind of just, we sent out this email to our friends and family. Jordan and I were sitting together on my couch, and she was kind of going through her old list of contacts on her email. And randomly we were just sending emails to people we know, you know, friends and old contacts in the industry. And, we've gotten such a good response, and Johnny Fairplay was one of them, which is so random. But he emailed me and offered his home and this venue in his small town. So we're going to play for his birthday, his 43rd birthday. And then the next night we're going to be in Raleigh at a friend of a friend's house. And we're just going to kind of go from there. We have a full 2 weeks booked in Texas in April. And yeah, it's really exciting. And we're continuing to get offers every day of people that want to come here, want us to come to their house and play like a Bluebird style show where we song swap and, you know, play our songs as two separate artists, not a duo, but singing on each other's songs and supporting each other as friends and fellow artists.
Real friends. And if you're our real friend, you'll book us a show.
Yeah, that's our little plug. That's our plug. I was telling Jordan on the way here, my motto has been a rising tide lifts all boats for the last 6 months to a year. And I feel like, all girls definitely in the industry need to kind of like lift each other up, girls and guys, but just new artists in general. And I feel like Jordan and I are really good about supporting each other while still, you know, being able to do our own thing. It's really cool.
Yeah. So we are hashtag not a duo, but we are working together. So
I got you. Well, it's so funny how like some things are just like right out of the gate, mm-hmm. and it needs no explanation. Mm-hmm. And people can feel that and tell that, and they're just suddenly on board with it.
Right.
Like, is that what y'all are experiencing so far?
Oh, totally. My gosh.
Person we've had like everything from people offering shows, but even just like, you know, we have a friend who wanted to make a promo video for us, so we're doing that with him. And then randomly Baylor is talking to a photographer at a restaurant who offers to come take pictures.
Like, you know, professional, amazing photos that probably should have been really expensive, but he offered like his time. Just, you know. And it's just been so cool how everyone's just kind of jumping on the ship with us.
Yeah.
And we don't know where it's going to go.
It's just one of those little idea babies.
Yeah.
That just pops up and you're like, oh, that feels good. Let's keep going with that.
Well, it feels good because we decided to take matters into our own hands and kind of say, you know what, we could wait forever on everybody else to get on board, or we could just do it. So we just decided to forge ahead, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned something earlier, and it's like, okay, the ladies in the industry,
mm-hmm.
and like I've talked with both of y'all separately, mm-hmm. about, because I mean you're both anomalies in the songwriting Nashville, right. country world,
right,
in that. And you've told me something one day that like, well, there's only four female artists, mm-hmm. like numbers like that, like you've came at me with like, I'm like, what, wait, what there's only who? So like, tell me about sort of just that, like who are those four artists, and like why is it so much harder for women to, mm-hmm. get songs cut, I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably that's, you know, sort of a representation of a society-wide systemic issue, I would say. But the four artists that come to mind immediately in country music are Carrie Underwood, Miranda Lambert, Kelsey Ballerini, and Maren Morris at this point.
Casey Musgraves, yeah. She's around.
A little more indie, yeah. Indie cool country type of thing. But for the most part, in terms of like vast, dramatic commercial success, it's those four that you're going to see around. And so when you stack those four up against, we went to the Universal CRS show today.
Great timing. Yeah. Question.
And there was 14 acts, and one of those 14 acts was a girl, female.
And she's a new artist, but has, what'd she say? She's had six singles out. And the one that is currently out now, her sixth, I guess.
Is top 10,
but it took six.
Who's that? Baller. Lauren Elena. She killed it.
She's
been on American Idol.
Yeah, she killed it.
Massive exposure.
Exactly.
She can legit sing.
Exactly.
Totally.
Which is why, you know, it is a little corrupt.
It's tougher. And you know, the standards are raised in that. If you do look at those four artists, the kind of cool thing about it, it's a, you know, sort of a double-edged sword in a way, but the cool thing about it is that the females are forced to be incredibly unique and stand alone and be very different, because if you're not, if they can compare you to another one of those four or someone else, then you're immediately written off. Whereas you can look and there's like clones of five different men, you know, just like a bunch of versions of the same guy.
With the same voice and the same song and the
right, but the girls, we have to sit here, and Baylor's saying, I have to find my sound. I have to figure out what that is. Like, she's searching for her sound. We have to do that in a way that men don't have to. So it does sharpen us as artists, but it's also like, you know, when you hear African Americans talking about how they have to work twice as hard for half as much, like in the industry, it's a similar kind of thing for females. So
totally.
Wow. What do you think about that, Ian? Have you ever thought about that before?
Not to that level. I mean, that's some pretty good insight.
I mean, I had no clue. I guess it just shows. I don't know. I've always played in bands with girls, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And sure.
It's not like that everywhere. If you look at the pop charts, there's a lot of female artists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, yeah, which is so
But it's just
weird.
Country.
Right now. And it's a pendulum. Part. Like, in the 90s, there were a lot of chicks, but...
Totally.
Right now, it's just a drought. And it's gotten so much press about how there's no female artists. And then you see Kelsey and Maren working. So hopefully that's kind of coming around, because they weren't, you know, like they came
in the last year or two,
right? Yeah,
they've kind of swung back, right? Helped us out. Yeah, that's why I'm saying this rising tide lifts all boats thing. I'm telling you, all these girls come together,
right? You can't compare Kelsey Ballerini to Maren Morris, you can't compare Maren Morris to Carrie Underwood, you can't do it.
Mm-mm.
They're all their own little thing, and we don't, you know, we don't want to be compared to anybody either. So,
totally.
Baylor and I are in a position now of like, well, let's go be different than anybody else,
exactly. And it's cool to team up with Jordan because we are so different as mm-hmm. artists, but we also like can write together and sing each other's songs and support each other. But that's what's so cool is like, I completely am a fan of Jordan. You know what I mean? Cause she's so different and can 100% have her own lane in the industry if they would just open the gates. Gatekeepers.
What a word.
Sounds right? like Hunger so Games. Real. It's true. It's real.
It is, man. So...
We don't need, we're just going to go push the gates open.
That's right,
know?
Which is what we're doing, which
well,
is cool.
Well, the thing is, like, somebody said, you know, when something's really special, it can't be ignored, you know? And sometimes it's like,
right.
I find it interesting because I've known y'all both for, like, whatever, a year or so. Not terribly long time, but follow you both on the platforms that there are to follow people. And you go, okay, and, like, I see the work that's going in and stuff, but now all of a sudden it's like, when the two of you talk about doing it together, it's like some kind of a click where you're like, oh, that's what's going to take it over the edge, at least for right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At least to, like you said, kick the door down, then you do whatever you want.
Right.
Once the door's kicked down.
Oh, it's been such a catalyst for so many things. And Baylor and I are coming from very different circumstances right now, where Baylor's had a publishing deal for, what?
A year.
Just about a year. She got a deal while she was still in college.
Yep.
So it's pretty fresh. And I've had a deal for almost 8 years. And
we're the same age.
We're the same age, yeah. So we've had such different paths. And my path has been kind of this path of like trials and tribulations and fear and like losing my voice and having to lose a record deal and then like, you know, kind of be stuck in this place of like, what do I do? And I can't sing. And then I find my voice and it sort of halted me. And Baylor is like plowing ahead, like post-college, just going for it, you know? So we kind of converged in a place where I was stuck and Baylor came along with this hand of just like, no, go, like do it, just
go,
do
go,
it.
Go.
And I'm able to like be there for Baylor to like support her in her, you know, just like energy.
And navigate what she's already been through.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
It's kind of like she's going back around and doing this round two, which is kind of how it is, but on her own, you know, and having like the confidence to do that. Just like build each other up and go for it. I'm really good at being the cheerleader, but I also need someone. I'm a team player. Like, I'm so good at team building and team bonding, and that's why I love this whole team aspect of hashtag not a duo, but doing this together.
Mm-hmm. So, and anybody who hasn't listened, I think we went over the whole your whole testimony from losing your voice and finding it on the last episode. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't heard that, that's an incredible story. Mm-hmm. That was literally a whole another podcast. So
go check it out.
Look in the archives. Pretty awesome. So
Jordan Shellhart is her name.
Yeah, easy to find. Yeah. Thanks for subscribing, folks. Go listen to that.
Subscribe right now.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate.
Yeah, brought to you by Springer Mountain Farms Chicken.
That's Aubrey. The old Eddie Stubbs.
Yeah, the old Eddie Stubbs.
I love Eddie Stubbs.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So let me ask you this. Since she's had a deal for a long time and you've had a deal for 1 year, do you feel like you learn a lot from her?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, all the time. I think Jordan has provided me with little nuggets of wisdom as far as like her past career experiences have gone. But I feel like we're both kind of learning from each other now. And I feel like because the industry changes constantly, it's fluid. It's never the same. It's a game, mm-hmm. and you have to play it. Mm-hmm. And we are signing up to play, but we're going to play by our rules. We're kind of making them as we go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
we're navigating uncharted territory.
We're navigating uncharted territory, which is fun, exciting, scary, and just like exhilarating kind of.
And we learn from each other in ways that's like, you know, this is something that just happened the other day. We were talking to someone in the business who was like, when y'all are out on the road, he's like, you know, you're building your social media. So he's like, wake up first 30 minutes of the day, you check your socials and blah, blah, blah. And we left and Baylor and I kind of looked at each other and I was like, the cool thing about being on the road together is we're going to be able to be like, wake up, do not get on social media for the first 30 minutes of your day, open your Bible, pray, acquaint yourself with the important things, and then get on social media.
And then get on social media.
Like, you know, so it's like, we don't play by those rules. Yeah. We
That's a huge thing.
Yeah, yeah, and we get to push each other in that way.
And when we lived together at one point, about 6 months ago now, I guess.
No, like...
More?
10 months ago.
Oh, dang.
Crazy?
Time flies. So we used to live together, and we're going to be living together, obviously, on the road. And my favorite thing about living with Jordan was... And something that she has taught me is spending time with the Lord, like on your own and then together. It's such a cool thing that I've learned over the last year or so with my friends and my relationships. So we're going to be stoked to keep each other accountable mm-hmm. in that first and foremost, because this whole tour would not have happened without those, like you said a minute ago, it just kind of like clicked and sparked and it was God mm-hmm. like waking this up in our souls and in our brains. To realize like, oh, this is what we're supposed to do right now. Right. You know?
He's like, move, girls,
He's
go.
Like, go, go, go. It's no more pruning, no more sitting around. Mm-hmm. It's time to go right. like share your story with the girl. Or totally. With the girl. With the world. with the girls of the world and the guys. So anyways, it's just really cool.
Well, we receive that. Well, that's cool. I think when you have something that's for some reason better together than it is apart, like that's what makes a band cool. That's what makes people kind of like tune in and not be able to look away from it. Like there's a ton of bands and ton of artists out there that like just don't like capture your imagination or capture your attention in a way that like the special ones just kind of do.
Right.
You know, and it's pretty amazing to get to be a part of something that you're like, huh? Because it's special right out of the gate. Like we've already talked about, like just the energy and the way people are responding or whatever. That's how it's going to be when they're watching too. You know what I mean? I'm sure you maybe felt that the other day at the Bluebird, and I hated to miss it, you know, or whatever. But we would have been there had we been in Nashville. But
there will be more.
I'm sure, like, you know, that's going to lead to a pretty cool situation on the stage because. Up until this point, you've probably been like, hey, look, stay. But now it's going to be like, no, they're locked in. Now you have them. You know, now you have an opportunity to really get to put your feet in the ground, you know, and dig into the dirt a little bit and do what you're going to do. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
We're pumped.
So especially starting off the way you're starting off with a bunch of friends and family and
totally
familiar territory. Especially in Texas. You can tour for 2 weeks in Texas.
Yeah, we've already got like 5 or 6 house shows booked in Texas and
some venue stuff.
Venue stuff, just really cool.
That's good stuff. Yeah. So here's a question. I hate when somebody asks like an artist to describe their own sound or their own thing or whatever. I think that's the worst thing in the world, like as far as to ask, because how do you answer that and not come off as like a, I don't know, like a fan of yourself? I don't know. It's just a
yeah,
weird
true.
Thing.
You can say
so
what you hope to be.
I want the two of you. So like, Jordan, you tell me about Baylor sound.
Oh, sweet.
And what makes her sound, what do you take away from her sound in an opposite way as well?
Sweet. Well, first of all, Baylor is one of the biggest Sheryl Crow fans that exists in the world. And so that for sure shows up in her stuff. But she has this very like millennial 2017 take on that in a really cool way. She's like youthful but mature. So Baylor's sound is, Baylor's like whole brand, I would say, is like fun and happy as she is. Baylor's such a light. She's just like, she's a light. And her music is light as well, but it packs a punch. It's not just like fluff. When I say light, I don't mean fluff. I mean light, like it illuminates. But it's also, there's depth there, and that's exactly what I feel like Baylor's personality is. So I don't know. I think that her stuff matches her soul in a way, which is really tight and I think compelling. So there you go.
I like it. I think you have a lot of energy too. And like, you know what I mean? There's a natural energy to anything that you're going to do, any conversation that you're a part of or any whatever, even if we're eating dinner or something, you know what I mean? There's like a life of the party sort of thing there.
Totally.
Too. You know what I mean?
She so definitely has that. Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. I think that'll come out in whatever you do, music or not.
Absolutely.
What do you think about, how would you describe Jordan's work then?
First of all, that was really nice. I'm like over here about to cry. holding it back. Man, Jordan Shellhart's music. Well, first of all, I think Jordan Shellhart's music should have been way more popular a long time ago.
I agree, yeah.
And people are just, they're going to get surprised when it does become popular, because it is one of those things that makes you feel things you've never felt. It makes you think about things you would never think about, because she is so knowledgeable and particular. And just like caring, like she just wants to know other people's hearts. And in doing that, she writes from her own and her own story in a really awesome way. Like so much better. This sounds really bad. I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Oh, gosh.
But better than Lori McKenna.
Oh, man.
I know.
Whoa.
I hope she never hears that. And I love Lori McKenna. I'm the biggest Lori McKenna fan, too. I really am. But at Jordan's age, it's just unreal.
Dang.
Like the amount of wisdom that you know, a 40 or 50 year old female songwriter would write about. If that makes sense, you know, it's just it's hard to explain because it's so awesome. It's just like, it's passionate and she thinks about every single word she's saying. It's coming from a real place. And she's got like the coolest voice ever. It's different than anyone's I've ever heard. That's what's cool about it. She doesn't sound like anyone. Like it's Jordan's voice.
Sweet.
And her influences are across the board amazing. From Chance the Rapper to Kendrick Lamar to Lori McKenna is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't trying to disrespect her. I was just saying like, you know, Jordan just has, she will be like that level, you know, of recognized and not, she already is. I'm not talking over myself, but yeah, she's just got this realness. It's unreal. I love it. And it kind of sounds like Sapphire Blue because that's her favorite color.
This is so badass. I love that.
Because it's deep, but also like beautiful.
Dang. Boom. That's the name of the record. Sapphire Blue.
That's the name of the... That's what I tell the musicians in my session. I'm like, y'all make it sound Sapphire Blue.
Love it.
It's great. Thanks, bae. That was sweet. That's awesome.
Well,
I can't believe I dissed Lori McKenna.
You didn't diss her.
Email her this tape.
That's fine. She'll probably go out and listen to your music, and then you'll all be song co-writing, and it'll be fine.
Thing is, like conflict draws interest. So that's right. The more junk you talk about,
the more
people,
tension, the better.
The good thing about being Lori McKenna is she knows she's a baller, so she'd probably just be like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are these young
I'm confident.
Chicks?
Or she'd be like, Baylor, never ride with her.
Well, they got to know. It's funny because, I'm with you on when you said, 40, 50-year-old. To me, that's when you're freaking seasoned.
Right.
And you've had some life. And, you got something to say.
Sheryl Crow does better now than she did, and she was great then. But Jordan's already great now, and that's what's so cool. Is I cannot imagine what 40-year-old Jordan Shellhart will be writing about, because it'll be wisdom we've never ever experienced.
Well, that's what we're getting at here. I mean, a lot of the ballers in this town are 40 something years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been here for a while.
Yeah.
They put their time in.
Right.
And they're seasoned. They know what they're doing. They're good at this because of never quitting, sticking to it, taking every ass whooping this town had to give them, and just saying, you can't tap me out, I'm still here. And you look around and you go, shoot, a lot of people went home.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. Dang, that's true.
A lot of people went home.
That's what somebody said. What is that phrase? The thing that separates the ones who succeed in Nashville from the ones that don't are the ones that quit and the ones
that
don't.
Hal Blaine, this guy played on, he was in the Wrecking Crew in L.A. in the 60s and 70s. He played on all the Beach Boys and anything in L.A., right?
Nice.
And he said, there's no losers in music, only winners who quit too soon.
Whoa.
And I'm I can deal with that.
Oh, that
you know what
chills.
I'm saying? Because, we are going to take a few licks in this, and I'm sure you have a million already, you know? But
dry periods.
Yeah, and when somebody, I like sports, so you said, team, and that's probably because you have a sports background, and know that humans are able to accomplish more together than they are on their own.
Mm. Yeah, what's the verse? Were there two more gathered?
Yeah.
Mm. Two more gathered in my name, there I am.
That's right.
Exactly. So going off of that, you go, well, dude, I'm so excited, because I know what the possibilities are here, you know?
Yeah.
But when somebody's a UFC fighter, for instance, what's the first thing they have to learn how to do? How to get kicked in the ribs. That's their first, okay, you want to go be a jiu-jitsu fighter, right? And you're serious. You want to fight professionally or whatever. You got to learn how to take the punishment that's going to come, because, you're no good. You can be the best boxer, the best whatever wrestler. If you get punched in the face and you go out, the lights go out, you're done. Doesn't matter what kind of skills you have. You know, you can be the best little singer in the world. If something somebody says breaks you, you're going to go scurrying on home. Unfortunately, nobody's going to get to hear that genius, you know?
Wow.
So it's a mixture of sure, talent, fine, somewhat. Mm-hmm. Some of that has to be a given, right?
Right.
But there's a big time part that's just toughness, don't
tenacity.
Quit. Yeah, tenacity is a great word for it, Resilience, all these
patience,
really physical words,
that
we're saying to do something where it's like you said earlier, carry my guitar, my arms wore out. We don't do a lot of physical
did
stuff.
Was that on the podcast?
I don't know. That was on the Instagram.
Just
portion.
So everyone knows, Jordan is sore today from holding a guitar yesterday.
I'm sorry, guys.
And we need to
don't
help
work
her.
Out. Don't work out.
Dang, I had to carry groceries up the steps.
I'm sore from hot yoga, and you're sore from.
We had to carry a lot of guitar cases.
Okay, for 30
y'all
minutes.
Are so different. That's what makes it work, though.
It's so
true.
Great.
Baylor's super athletic. I'm
a 7.
They don't know Enneagram, folks.
Oh yeah,
we love personality tests over here.
Yeah, I'm a 5.
I don't remember what I was.
I'm a 7.
What's
she's
a 5?
5.
Okay, look up what look up Enneagram numbers.
What was that,
sir?
ENNE.
There you go.
GRAM. Did you see how we just completed that?
There you
together?
Go. Boom.
Not a duo.
I can't remember.
Hashtag
what
not a duo. Hashtag
was.
The real friends tour.
The real friends
we got
tour
a lot of hashtags.
Gmail.com.
So talk about that hashtag not a duo. Why do you get pissed when somebody calls it a duo?
We don't get pissed.
Oh, we don't get pissed. We just don't want.
just
we're not
wondering.
Pissed, Taylor.
We just want to make sure that the brand is
I
obvious.
See the fire in your eyes.
Well, what's
don't you lie got to a me. Little snippy right there.
Gosh, we don't
we're
get
not
pissed.
Pissed at as a shoe flies across the room.
Yeah. We just hit him with the drum. No, we just know what people will assume.
Yeah, which they already are. Even though we're hashtagging not a duo, they're like, so you're definitely a duo, right?
Oh, all of our guy friends are like, so it's a duo. Y'all are just like false advertising this.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah, that.
But we're not. We have a strong voice in our own artistry, and we wanted to team up, but we didn't want to. We just thought, we knew that as soon as we started doing this, it would be confusing and people would think we were a duo. So we were like, well, shoot, let's just tell people we're not from the, off the bat. So
That is a great little tagline.
It's going to be our whole theme throughout this
tour,
because we are going to be playing next to each other, but playing our own songs. Mm-hmm. So we just want people to like understand.
Yeah.
I like the idea that you said of bringing sort of like the Bluebird vibe to.
Yeah.
Because people are coming from all over the country to go in that little building.
Yeah.
Yeah, and wait outside for hours in the snow and the rain and the heat.
I'm like,
heat.
For what?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what we're talking about. We're like, we'll come to your comfortable home with your couches and your recliners.
We'll just do what we do there.
We'll just do what we do there.
Tell our stories and sing our songs.
Tailgate food. You know what I'm saying? You know how shows are.
Yeah, if they provide it, for sure.
Yeah, we're not bringing that.
We don't cook, but...
Unfortunately, we don't cook.
Got three words for them. Chicken, bacon, ranch. Hook it up, dog.
Taylor, you're hungry today.
I'm always hungry. I'm not even that hungry right now.
You just like chicken.
I like food. We love food, man.
He's fasting. That's like...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Not really. Our fast was real easy this time.
TV and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, we did like TV and beer and dessert and like whatever. Easy stuff.
You weren't here for my fasting story.
No, I didn't hear it. So, I mean, if you want to give it, go ahead and give it.
Do it.
Should I? Okay. Yeah. So, I've never fasted before, but Taylor's always talking about how great fasting is.
So, do it.
He has these really cool fasting testimonies and...
I'm so spiritual.
You're so Christian, Taylor.
That's not what anyone's trying to say, but he's been encouraging about it, so I finally decided to fast. And the first thing I wrote down on my list of reasons to fast was for my roommate, who wasn't a believer, and I just wrote down fast for Brianna. She wouldn't mind me telling this story, but I started fasting. I didn't know I was going to, and then the second day we were at a Bible study. I brought Brianna to Baylor's Bible study, and Baylor was like, I think we should all just go around in a circle and pray. And I'm sitting there like, oh gosh, poor Brianna. Like, this is so awkward. No one wants to pray out loud.
The Spirit was telling me to grab hands and everyone has to pray on their own, like, individually.
But like, who wants to pray out loud when you're kind of like, you don't even really
know if you believe in God.
Know what you believe yet, right? So, but it got to Brianna and she just started praying like, God, I know that you're chasing me. I know that you're after my heart and I just want to give it to you and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, we're all crying. And I went home just like, did that just happen? Like the second day of this fast. It's just crazy. So I knew you would like that story. I wasn't planning on telling that story in a podcast, but
fasting for Taylor, is amazing.
Yeah. It's just, you know, some cool stuff comes out of it. So.
Wow. I received that for sure. Cause I mean, that now we done got, you done got us on the old, what you call it, peach box now, and we're ready to preach a little bit now, so thought you were getting a music podcast, but man, I tell you, it's something else, and I just encourage anyone who, like, you know, because the word fasting, especially for a guy that, like, loves food like me, and, like, okay, let's, and has a family with a restaurant right down the street where I have unlimited free food. Like, fasting was not something that was on my radar at all. You know what I mean?
Mine either. I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, and I heard of it.
I mean, I knew legalistically what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I didn't know spiritually. Right?
But it's one of those things where, like, if you really want to flesh out something that's going on in your life, or if you really, really, really want to feel like you did everything you can spiritually for somebody else or for yourself or for some reason, like, what does Jesus say about fasting? Yo, some of these demons can only be cast out by prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the question was presented, you know, to me one time, was like, well, why do we need to do this? Mm-hmm. Well, because Jesus did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, well, I get that. I receive that too. Okay, maybe I do need to look into this or whatever. And there's a bunch of different ways to fast. It's not just
food.
Don't eat ever. You know what I mean? Right. Which, if you want to do that, like, go do that. I believe the Lord will provide the things that you need. You know what I mean?
Like, I believe you ask the Lord, like, what you're supposed to fast for.
Exactly.
And he'll tell you. You just wait.
Yeah.
He'll tell you what you're holding on to too tightly in this world.
That's one of those conversations with Jesus you know you're supposed to be having, but you keep on changing subject.
Which is why we're talking about it again and again right now.
Yeah.
For you.
That's how it is.
Because that was me.
I just want to encourage anybody who, within the sound of our voices, is like, you know, we're laughing and carrying on, but it is amazing to see God do work.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if we should just graze over this, but like, there's a girl that's maybe kind of come to know Jesus through this situation.
Right.
Like regardless of our role in it, to get to witness that in any level is an amazing thing. Like, eternity was shaken and angels were rejoicing, and like, that's the real stuff. You know, we can sit here and talk about this music business all day long, but it ain't gonna mean jack when we're dead.
Exactly.
Like, that's right.
So what is that girl that you prayed for, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And any other person that, you know, comes to know the Lord through any kind of way, but especially if you had something to be around them and do with it, you know? So I do it, man. Like, check it out. If you want, I hear people all the time say, man, I just, you know, I'd love to like get closer to God and, you know, all these kind of things all the time. Like, try fasting, man.
Yeah.
Watch what happens.
It's intense.
Yeah.
It is. It's awesome. And the funny thing is, I was doing like just a water fast, like no food. And that second day is rough.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was just like, man, I was in bed the whole day just journaling and praying because I was like, I just don't want to do anything, right?
Did you cancel everything? I think you canceled everything.
I canceled because I was just like, this is, man, I can't do this.
This is way more important, and I'm like about to die.
Yeah. And I showed up at Baylor's house for Bible study. I was just like sitting on the floor, just like tired, just didn't really. And by the time I got home after she prayed that prayer, I was like, I could do this forever. Like, that felt so awesome to just see God work. Like, seeing God work is food in itself. Like, it's so energizing.
Amen.
Come on. Like, think about this, too. Like, would you have canceled everything to pray and journal all day had you not been physically changed?
Nope.
Never have before, haven't since.
That's the deal. Like, man, we did 30-hour famine with the kids in Delaware at the camp. And, like, day two sucks. I mean, it's hard. Like, you're physically demanding food in a lot of ways. Your body is. But, like, guess what happens? You think about the Lord in that moment. Mm-hmm. Whereas usually we just like, let's think about food.
Right.
Well, what are we going to eat?
Right.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, not that that's bad. And it's not something, you know, that we're trying to like hit anybody over the head with.
No,
it's just something to think about and consider. And
totally.
Like, if you want to shift gears in your walk, like I would say, get on your Google machine and just like, listen to testimonies from fasting.
Right. You know? I did the Daniel fast. It was great.
Yeah.
Look that up.
It's sort of, I mean, and again, it's no legalism. It's no like pressure-y thing because I've been a Christian since I was like 19, I guess. So like, 3 years now, and I just did that for the first time.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, but it was awesome. That's all I can really say about it is I had an awesome experience and saw God do cool stuff. So
amen. We had, man, like I'll say this too, man, everything ain't rainbows and butterflies. Sometimes like with fasting, the Lord will do this thing where like he will tell me through physical like non-enjoyment of food or like just like I don't feel good every day in my stomach, just like 1%. And I'd be like, dang, that means a fast is coming up.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Because first of all, I know I'm a glutton by nature if I'm not careful. You know what I'm saying? So I eat a lot of stuff at one sitting or whatever, kind of known for it. And sometimes not the healthiest food eater, none of that stuff. So this month it was like, oh, dang, I don't want to do this because I know it's a big mountain to climb and I've done preached all these sermons about fasting and now I'm going to have to eat my own words and like go on it myself and I don't really want to do it. And so we came up with this, you know, then the church thing pops up and I'm like, dadgummit, I could have told you a month ago this was going to happen and it just so happened it did, you know, and I was changing the subject. Me and God, Lord, I ain't trying to do that right now. Let's talk about something else.
That's awesome.
What happened was, okay, me and Kyla, and it's been, I wish you would come out here and tell her side of it, but I need to get her on before it's over.
Can we go get her?
I don't know what she's doing, but anyway, she is like, her fast was totally different than mine. Like, mine was all like, okay, I don't really know why I'm doing this, but like, I'm sure something will be revealed, you know? So I don't know what it's going to be. It's kind of nervous, kind of nerve-wracking, you know? With her, it's like, she's starting a business. She's doing all this. She's, like, trying to pray through whether or not she's going to leave a job. And, like, you know, all these, like, fun, like, things going on. And, like, And so, so her fast has been awesome. Like, she's just been, like, pedal to the metal, and business is going great and getting started and big time, like, clarity. And I'm such a fan of, you know, that version of her. You know what I mean? That's walking with Jesus and, like, enjoying every step of the way and, like, excited about what's going on in her day. And, like, so that was her. Mine was different. Mine was me getting knocked off the pedestal a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
You talked about that.
Yeah. Like, I took a couple whoopings in the first couple days of the fast. You know what I mean? From like, unexpected, like, areas. And you're like, oh, like, dang it. And it was one of those things where, like, maybe I was thinking a little too highly of myself. Maybe I was starting to, like, whatever, I can do this. I don't need you as much, Lord, on a daily basis. You know, and so I had to get taken down a notch, you know, and it sucked. It was just like a couple of real conversations that were meant to help me, and ultimately they will, but it's like, some, you know, taking a tough pill to save your life. The pill sucks going down, but eventually it's there to save your life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so,
dang.
So that's kind of how it was. And then it was like, okay, had this not happened, I would have continued on the road that I was going down of, I don't know what you call it, just, maybe just contentment or whatever. You like a bad contentment, not like a good contentment. Like when you're just like, okay, I'm good with that or whatever.
Yeah.
And would not have said, okay, you're right. That's my rule. When somebody says something to me that I don't like first thing I got to ask is like, are they right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And if they are, then I can be mad at you for 24 hours.
My counselor says to say that. I'm not even kidding. You're a counselor now.
No, I got lucky.
I'm just kidding. But no, I mean it. That's a great rule.
It's a hard rule. I mean, younger me would just spit people out and just cut them off or whatever. Yeah. But you end up cutting off all your best friends.
Aww.
Okay? Because your real friends are the ones that will...
Real friends!
There you go, hashtag. I contributed to the gimmick. There we go. So your real friends are the ones that will take you aside and say, hey, you know what? You're a moron in this area. And you need some help. Like, you need to take another look at that. Whereas, like, the people that don't care that much, be like, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. You know?
Me and Baylor have had to have those conversations with each other, too.
It's going to hurt sometimes.
Yeah. But the Lord will provide it at the exact right time where we can receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
If we're, you know, trying to not be mean.
Be patient. Like, you know, there's that 24-hour window, I think.
That's
like,
what she says, too, my counselor. Wait 24 hours before you respond or react. Which I need to learn.
Yeah. Immediately. Are you like a wah, like right now reactor?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like I shut really down and just
Jordan shuts down. What was it again? Peace out. Push.
Oh
what
yeah.
Was my thing.
There was oh gosh.
It was run, right?
But it started with a P somehow.
There was three P's. I'm blanking. But this is from counseling. You either peace out is running. Duh.
Yeah.
And then
like push back, get mad, basically.
Get mad, which is me. Or shut down with another P word. I don't know. Anyways, it was great. We're doing a terrible job of
alliteration out the window.
Well, and like, I'm wired up like you are. I will go in.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
With anybody.
Oh, I'll be like, oh, you're wrong. What are you talking about? Or I'll be like, I definitely didn't mean it that way. Like,
people please was one.
Oh, people please.
People please, peace out. And then the one that means fight back.
Yeah.
Puff up.
Puff up.
Puff up.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, we puff up our feathers a little bit.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Start strutting like a little gander.
Like Beyonce.
I'm like, bye.
Yeah. And it's different, man. It's different. People do different stuff. But I was pretty upset at the one thing because I felt like it was a little bit of a setback. And I was like, oh, God, you know, whatever. That sucked. But at the same time, the cat was right and he was trying to help me.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And like, I've made the changes. And I think moving forward, it'll be helpful, you know? Whose is that?
I think that's you.
That's me.
Taylor's
my grandmother. She wants me to fix her DirecTV.
Oh,
gotta go over there in a minute.
You gotta go.
I'll go over there in a little bit. I told her it'd be like 6:30 or 7:00, but yeah. So flush out. Sometimes fasting will flush out something for you that you were gonna carry for years.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
And you didn't even know that it was like a problem in your life, but it's like basically, okay, Lord, let's go on fast track. Let's go on like speed. Like let's do this. Mm-hmm. Let's make some stuff happen.
I love that fast track.
Yeah, it'll fast track some stuff sometimes, man.
Fast track.
And it's just like, okay, dang, I got you. I hear that. This is a tough month, but we'll move on and we'll look back and go, that was a big moment in my life
mm-hmm.
when I heard that particular critique or call or whatever.
Dang.
And you go from there. So, and I've got fasting stories where the first time I fasted, you know, I fasted for a week and broke that fast and met Kyla that night and thought that was awesome. So, yeah.
So basically, fast to meet your wife or husband.
There you go.
Just kidding.
Yeah, but there's maybe. All kinds
but maybe.
Of...
Just kidding, but maybe.
I might do it.
It's the end of our email.
For real, but maybe.
Oh my God, that is.
Well, ladies, well, I appreciate y'all coming over.
Thanks for having us. Ian, yeah. Do you have any final words?
Any final nope. thoughts?
He said nope.
Nope. Nope.
That's a
it's
good
been
final
an easy
thought.
One for you today.
Thanks yeah. for having us, talkers. Taylor.
Anything else? So what's a, let's plug everything we're going to plug. You got some kind of a social media something or what? What are we doing here?
Yeah, so if you want to book us for a show, you can email therealfriendstour@gmail.com.
And if you want to follow us as artists, you can do that on all the various sites. Taylor has our names on the podcast, I assume.
Yep.
And it's just @BaylorWilson, @JordanShellhart.
Easy.
Or follow. You can just Google and it'll happen.
Put it in your Google machine.
Google don't Google Baylor because she was on Survivor.
Thanks.
We got to put that over.
Great. Great job.
I'm pretty sure you talked about it on the last podcast, so.
I did. She it's did. All good. No, I'm not trying to hide that. It's just, you know, let's focus on the music. Hey.
Part of your testimony.
Know that's right.
What I'm saying?
That's
huge
right.
part. So, well, I guess that'll do it for today. You guys are awesome. If you listen to this show, please do me a favor. Oh, here we go. I need some help with some iTunes reviews and whatever you call it, rate
ratings.
And subscribe and all that stuff. So if you like or this thing or whatever, you want to support me, I know there's a lot of you out there that have supported me for a long time, and I appreciate mm-hmm. you. But if you want to do something for this particular show, if you go on iTunes and rate and review and subscribe, that helps me out a ton. We're trying to, you know what I'm saying, be more than a tree that falls in the forest here.
Build so, it. Build it.
Know what I'm saying? It can be kind of a lonesome road when you're trying to make a way for yourself in this crazy world. Mm-hmm. So everybody deals with that, not mm-hmm. just, you know what I'm saying, podcasters or musicians or people in Nashville, all over the world, everybody has stuff. So
true.
That'd be one thing you can do for me. I appreciate it. If you do, I'll give you a shout out on the show and anything else we can do for you. If we had some merch, we'd send you some merch.
We'll have merch
on
our
it.
Tour. Don't worry.
You got a brother that prints merch.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I need to come up with some t-shirts.
Come on.
T-shirt gimmicks. Yeah. You know what I mean? Some of my funny sayings.
Yeah.
Like yes. I can just put,
like,
you know,
what'd you say? Butterflies and...
No,
WD-40. No, it ain't always rainbows and butterflies. Isn't that what you say?
Oh,
I love that. That's
I've
true.
Heard that before from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I always steal all my stuff from either old people or funny comedians I used to watch on Comic View.
Steal like
or
an
wrestlers.
Artist.
Mm. Yeah, wrestlers too, yeah. I'll put Faster Than a Scalded Gander on a shirt and see if that sells. You know what I mean?
I don't actually. It's funny enough.
I think you should just put your face, Taylor. Just put your face on a t-shirt and sell it.
Oh my gosh.
Faces
sell,
apparently.
That's what we just you remember got. Those Garth Brooks shirts where it'd just be like the whole
I
shirt?
Have yes. Yes, I do. I didn't buy it, though. It was given to me, thank God. Because they're probably like $45.
Mm-hmm. I saw this cat the other day. He had this giant Alan Jackson shirt.
Yes. What if, that was the 90s.
I can deal with that.
Bruno said that because I was like talking about getting merch done for this tour. And I was like, apparently, you know, face shirts sell the most. So, and Bruno goes, yeah, if you're Garth Brooks. So I was mixed in my idea.
I don't know what, man. We are not in the music business anymore. We are in the t-shirt business.
Yeah.
We're in the music art, but we're in the t-shirt
right?
business.
Right, so you make
play
the money.
Music to sell
yeah.
the shirts.
You go to a concert, right? The freaking music is free, you know, whatever, Spotify. You buy a shirt, $35.
Yeah, yeah.
$35 is a going rate for a t-shirt
so
on the road, like major tour. And it's funny because, like, if you're on the tour with, like, say, Kenny Chesney or whatever, and he's selling his shirts for $35, you got to price match all of your stuff.
Whoa.
You can't just sell yours for $20.
You can't?
No.
Because they won't. That's
because why they won't
because they won't buy it. They don't want to risk it. Whoa.
Bruno smartened me up to that when he was doing the Sam Hunt thing over the summer. He's like, yeah, people could get out there. He's like, it don't matter. Like, you got to sell for what the top artist is selling.
Dang, that's
so
intense.
Like, dang, dog. But hey, $35 a shirt, and you talking about, let's say, stadium full of people.
Yep.
Let's say 10% of them buy your merch.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, bankrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Music business.
That'll buy me my music business. My jet one day.
Yeah.
Buy you your my jet. T-shirts will buy me my jet.
Shoot.
Hey, it'd be awesome. Thanks, everybody, for buying my future T-shirts.
We appreciate it. Go see the Real Friends Tour if it's coming near your neck of the woods. Go support these ladies. They're movers and shakers, and they're going to do big things. And part of what I love about the podcast is I bring you the bands and the artists before they pop huge. I mean, that's what I try to do because, like, we are all, you can kind of see, like, you can see the spark, you can see the greatness before it, everybody else sees it. That's our job here, you know, is to see it first. So go back and look on our thing. I think we've got a pretty good track record for some bands that are really starting to pop off now that you might have heard of. So anyway, we take that and put it on our little, little knapsack and keep walking.
Yeah, that's where I first heard of the New Respects, and here
now
they're
killing it. They're on the road. Robert Randolph now is awesome. If you haven't heard Robert Randolph, go look him up. So, anyway, fun stuff.
Thanks y'all so much.
Thank you very much.
It's been great.
All right, for Baylor Wilson, Jordan Shellhart, Ian the producer, Taylor Jones. See y'all next week.
Bye.